From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Jennifer Pemberton with a quick look at local and statewide news. The state has dropped plans to move Alaskan inmates to out-of-state prisons. Department of Corrections Commissioner Nancy Dahlstrom says the state canceled the bid process while addressing state legislators today. Lawmakers were discussing a bill that would have restricted the department from sending Alaskan prisoners out of state. The department announced a plan to explore sending inmates out of state in October to address prison overcrowding. Instead, Dahlstrom told legislators the department will pilot a reentry program for inmates serving out the final year of their sentences. It also plans to begin work to reopen the Palmer Correctional Center, which closed in 2016. And it's official. The Army Corps of Engineers has green-lighted a two-berth cruise ship dock on Ketchikan's Ward Cove. KRBD's Eric Stone has more.
The Army Corps issued the permit on Tuesday. Fairbanks investor John Binkley of the Ward Cove Dock Group says the hope is to get the berths in place for this cruise season.
We'll probably be started next week with the actual construction. The barge will be here, should be here by the end of the week, and then it'll start getting positioned next week, and hopefully by the end of the week, they'll be ready to start putting piling in.
He's part of the partnership with Ketchikan investors David and Andrew Spokley, who own the former Ketchikan Pulp Company mill site property. Norwegian Cruise Line is also investing an undisclosed amount of capital in exchange for preferential berthing. Ketchikan city officials have shared reservations about the project, which is outside its jurisdiction. The city sent an 11-page letter to the Army Corps as it considered the permit application, raising questions about the proposed dock's impact on city revenue. Some ships that currently pay Ketchikan head taxes could move over to Ward Cove, and transportation to and from the site 7 miles north of downtown Ketchikan. The city council commissioned a study to determine the impacts of the dock in October. City officials say that's due back at the end of March. Some residents, along with state and federal regulators, have raised questions about environmental consequences. Ward Cove contains waste from decades of discharge from the pulp mill, and there's the potential to stir up legacy pollution at the bottom of the cove. The former Ketchikan Pulp Company was a major employer in the region from the 1950s up to the late 1990s. Binkley says regulators addressed some of those concerns and folded them into the federal permit.
There are quite a few requirements that go along with the permit. One is called a benthic survey, a marine survey that's taking place right now.
He says teams are surveying the bottom of the cove to determine the condition of the 6 to 12-inch sand cap before construction gets started. That sand cap has allowed bottom-dwelling sea creatures to rebound since the pulp mill closed.
And then after we've been in operation, we'll do that again just to make sure that we're not disturbing any of that marine life down on the bottom of the bay.
The developers still plan to push for a summer opening date. Earlier projections were to have a permit in hand by December 1st, but the delay has pushed things back.
So we're behind a couple of months, but it'll go fairly quickly, and we'll be ready sometime this summer.
Binkley says the Uplands, the former mill site where Binkley says cruise passengers will disembark, will be ready around the same time. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Eric Stone.
About a week and a half ago, the water pressure at Juneau's Thunder Mountain Mobile Home Park dropped to a trickle. It took days to get fixed, and now they have to boil their water to use it. Some residents say they're frustrated with how the situation was handled. KTOO's Rasha McChesney has the story.
Lori James lives with her family in the Thunder Mountain Mobile Park.
Hi, just a minute.
James's teenage son answers the door. Her husband lives there, too. She has a 4-year-old grandson running around the kitchen, and another granddaughter in diapers lives there as well. She says living without water, or with water she has to boil, is complicated. But it isn't the first time, and they're somewhat prepared.
Well, I'll show you.
She swings open a cabinet door and shows the 5-gallon jugs under her sink. The bottom shelf of her fridge is full, too. But she says even with that stockpile, there are other problems. She can't do laundry. It's hard to stay clean. They were using baby wipes to bathe the kids last week.
It was really inconvenient. You know, Sunday afternoon is when the water pressure started going. And that's when I said, okay, guys, that's it. Everybody get your shower because I know we're going to be out. We could be out for 3 days.
She's talking about Sunday, January 12th. That's when water pressure started to drop in the mobile home park. It got to the point where some residents say they had just a trickle coming through their faucets for days. And to understand what happened, it's helpful to know that the mobile park is on a self-contained water system. The property manager is Chuck Collins. He's the general manager for Wright Services, which owns the park and several other properties in Juneau. Collins says there are about 100 homes in the mobile park, and they're not connected to city water. It's all well water. And if one person's pipes freeze or there's a break, it takes just a few hours to drain the holding tanks that supply the whole park.
I mean, many of us have lived in a home where if we were taking a shower and somebody flushed the toilet, all of a sudden we got a little, you know, hot water burn because the pressure on the cold side went down. Just imagine that on a larger scale, and that's what we have. So.
Collins says this time around there were two leaks, and it took a few days to find and fix them. One of the leaks was just off of a main supply line. He says that's no individual homeowner's fault, just a break in a line. But he says another common problem is that some residents just don't know how to care for their pipes in the winter. One big thing, the city sent on a notice this winter saying homeowners can run their water to keep pipes from freezing. And that works fine in a lot of other places in Juneau, but not in Thunder Mountain. It lowers everyone's water pressure. The last time there was a major leak was 2018, and Wright Services ended up passing out bottled water to residents. Collins says they give out some shower vouchers to a nearby swimming pool, too. But they didn't do that this time around. And he says that's because technically no one ran out of water.
This time, everybody always had water, so while nobody's happy with me, and I don't want to pretend like they are, and I don't blame them any, it's, you know, they always had water, so they could cook, clean, and, you know, might take an hour to fill the toilet is regrettable. I wouldn't want anybody to go through that at all, you know, don't wish that on anybody.
That sentiment is deeply frustrating for Angel Brown. She and other residents say they couldn't do anything with that trickle of water. And it's the property manager's responsibility to provide usable water for the residents.
And we still can't drink it, cook with it, brush our teeth with it, technically wash dishes with it.
Brown has lived in the mobile park for about a decade. She says Wright Services isn't as responsive to problems as the former owner. When she started having water trouble last week, she called several times to find out what was going on and felt like she was being brushed off.
I just didn't feel my concern was being taken seriously.
Her water pressure is back, but there's a notice from the state to boil it. It's a precaution. Essentially, when the water pressure gets as low as it did in the park, the lines can get contaminated. That notice will be in effect until bacteria testing results come back from the lab. That will likely happen this week. Brown says she understands that people might think that going without water for a few days is no big deal, but she says that's not really the point.
It's more than inconvenient when it doesn't work. And I've been criticized for complaining about a first world problem, but I'm in a first world. I live in a first world. I pay, you know, I bought my trailer. I bought my washer and dryer. I pay lot space rent. I pay for this service. And to have it out for 4 days is super frustrating.
Both Brown and Lori James say they want there to be more transparency in the way that Wright Services communicates about water and other issues in the park. Meanwhile, Collins says there's the possibility that the park could connect to city water as a backup to its current system. They're in the early planning stages now, but it'll take time and money to integrate the two systems, and it likely won't happen in 2020. From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Rasha McChesney.
Southeast Alaska could be looking at a summer of limited ferry service, with some communities remaining fully cut off. That's according to a proposed schedule released by the State Department of Transportation earlier this week. Under the draft plan, Sitka would receive 8 stops a month from May through September, 6 southbound and 2 northbound. Cake would get 4 stops per month. Angoon is also scheduled to see 4 port calls a month, ending a winter-long ferry drought. Pelican and Tanaki Springs, however, would remain cut off for the summer months. Pelican Mayor Walt Weller says the town can make do with 8 to 10 sailings a year, but no ferry service at all? That would devastate the local economy.
Having some form of economical transportation in line with what the Alaska Marine Highway System was originally mandated for, which was commerce and supporting these small communities, that's all we're asking for. You know, we don't have any reason to ask for a ferry every week or even every month. We just don't want to be cut completely off.
The DOT is gathering public comments on the proposed schedule now until February 3rd. They'll also hold a teleconference on February 4th to hear additional comments. Turning now to weather, there is a 100% chance of rain this evening and overnight with a low of 35 degrees. That could turn to snow tomorrow after 3 p.m. It'll cool down as we head into the weekend with snow showers overnight Friday and into Saturday. Tomorrow's high near 36 and a low of 29. Currently 38 degrees with light rain.